Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another episode of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Available on your favorite podcast of choice, Spotify, Stitcher, and even iTunes. And also on Patreon with exclusive content, like early access to upcoming episodes and also minisodes. But I don't want you to give if this causes you any financial harm whatsoever. It's always free every week for you with this main podcast. So just enjoy yourself and enjoy the show. And speaking of shows, what will I be talking about this week? Well, it's all about Harley Quinn Season 3, Primal Season 2, and the movie Day Shift. So get yourself strapped in for some very adult content this week. But first, some news. Before we get started with the news, I just want to say one thing about Prey. I released a minisode last week of Prey for you to get an idea of what I do on the Patreon for Patreon members. And next week, another minisode. So I hope you enjoy it, which will be exclusively for Patreon members. So sign up for you to get that. But what I wanted to say was that Dan Trachtenberg, the director of Prey, did an amazing job. He did an awesome job. I forgot to give him his props. Dan Trachtenberg, you are amazing. Thank you. You did a truly great job here. And screw the BS that's trying to haunt you or they're trying to do for at you guys on Twitter. Twitter is nothing but a sinkhole of losers that like to complain. For the most part. Like the, 60% of us that are on Twitter that do want to get something done are outshined by the minority of just haters. So enjoy yourself. You're doing a great job. You did an amazing job with Cloverfield Lane. You did an amazing job here. And I'm forgetting your other movie you did also. You did an amazing job with that. I've watched all your films so far. And all your work with The Boys Season 1, Episode 1, that was brilliant too. Keep it up, man. You're doing amazing work. TRS for life. So, here we go with this. The HBO Max news that everybody's heard about. The Discovery Time Warner. If you may have heard by now that Batgirl movie has been canned. The Supergirl movie has also been canned. Because the Discovery CEO is most likely a sexist. I can't say for sure. I'm just speculating because the way he worded all this and the fact that he canceled mostly all women-run movies and TV shows, that I should say star women as the main lead. And also the fact that he's put in a PowerPoint stating that men and women don't like the same thing. That HBO Max is going to be for men only. And if women want to find content for themselves, they can go watch Discovery Plus, where they have, you know, Housewives and stuff like that. You know, all those great reality shows that I guess all of y'all like to watch. Because remember, if he's saying that, means that's what the money's showing. And the money's showing that you ladies are all watching Housewives over actual movies and actual TV shows. So he feels that you women just want to watch that and they're going to leave HBO Max just for guys. But that's only for a year because he's going to merge them next year, supposedly, too. So I don't know what is up with this dude. This dude is all over the place. Of course, he comes from a reality TV scenario. He got his start making reality TV. Then that's all he knows and that's all he cares about. So he's pretty much burning all things that were made on HBO Max from the previous owners, AT&T, and the previous CEO. And he's bringing his own crap in. And he's pretty much destroying the streaming service that's actually competing with Netflix right now more than anyone else other than Disney Plus. And it is sad that this dude is going to come in, destroy any hopes that we've had for a third good place to watch good content. And even, he also stated that he has a 10-year plan for the DCU. So, way to go. Another 10-year plan that's never taken off. But that's going to be a 10-year plan without Batgirl, Supergirl, or any other heroines out there. It's all going to be male-driven. I believe he said that he only wants to keep Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman around for the main three. That's all he wants to keep. And that's all we're going to see, I guess. So, yay for us. Oh, that's going to be so exciting. Oh, my God. This is going to suck so bad. But, yeah. That's the news for this week. We have a reality TV CEO that only wants to watch reality TV because it's cheap to make and cheap to produce overall. Instead of making quality TV, quality movies, he's going to just focus on reality TV. So thank you to all those that watch those Housewives shows and those 90 Day Fiancés and all the other garbage like that. Thank you to those people. But with that disappointingly horrific sad news, let's get away from that and let's move on to the first topic, which is Primal on HBO Max or Adult Swim, depending on where you watch it. Now, that was a quick clip for Primal. A HBO Max and Adult Swim production. Starring the voice talents of Aaron Laplante. A synopsis is, a caveman forms a bond with a dinosaur as they struggle to survive in a hostile world. And yes, that is a pretty accurate description of the first season of Primal. If you haven't watched it, it's an animated series from the creators of Samurai Jack, and he is telling a visual story here. This is honestly nothing more than a visual showcase of visual storytelling. There's pretty much no words in the entire first season other than grunts and growls and, you know, dinosaurs roaring and screaming and stuff. That's it. That's the only sound effects you're going to get on top of the amazing music. But this is all visual storytelling. So if you're not into visual storytelling, then I don't know what you're doing listening to a podcast about movies and TV shows. But yeah, this is absolutely, you must pay attention to what's going on screen. This is extremely violent, extremely bloody. This is not for the faint of heart for the most part, but it does tell a breathtaking story. The same way Samurai Jack did, this does the same thing. It just beautiful storytelling. There's nothing more to it than that. And season 2 starts off right where season 1 left off. And it continues and it goes past all that. Now, before I get really into season 2, let me just give you a little bit more into what happened in season 1. Season 1, you see him with this dinosaur. Through the season, you find out why he's with this dinosaur. You find out that dinosaur actually killed his wife and daughter, or wife and children. I don't believe he had a daughter. I think he had boys, but his wife and his children. And he went hunting for it. And he found it, ended up killing all of them. But he found out that the reason it did it was because it was trying to feed its young too. He went out hunting to feed it. That dinosaur went hunting to feed its family. And unfortunately, that dinosaur's family got killed by another dinosaur, if I remember correctly. So it's been over a year that I've seen season 1. And then they become reluctant buddies. They work together to survive and nothing more. But towards the end, you see them becoming true friends. Like, it's pretty much, you know, Turner and Hooch type of thing. You know, bosom buddies, anything like that that you might understand. It's that kind of relationship, and it's really touching. It's, again, really graphic. There's episodes where they fight this giant spider, and they're being chased by the spider's underlings that go hunting for the spider, right? That's one of the best episodes in the series. And then in season 2, it starts off right where they left off. They were, season one ended them by a beach. Season two starts off there. They build a raft. They go on the raft. And they have this giant adventure at sea where they fight this giant shark. Again, it's brilliant. Then they finally make it to another land. And then they meet humans that are more like, let's say, us. And they can, you know, they have their own speech. They don't have actual words, you know, they use. And now the story is coming full circle after the latest episode. After episode 3, I should say. It's coming full circle. And it's just great. Episode 4 was called The Red Mist. And that's where you see it turn full circle. Episode 5 is the newest one that came out. It takes place in modern, well, in Victorian times, I should say. It takes place in Victorian times. And that one talks about what the show is actually about. What is this show about? What is this show trying to tell you? And this episode tells you directly to your face. If you're one of those people that just doesn't understand metaphors, doesn't understand anything, this will tell you straight to your face what this show is really about. One of the best episodes on top of Red Mist so far from this season. And yeah, I think y'all should just check it out. It's definitely, definitely worth watching. I cannot speak more highly. This is top notch, one of my favorite shows to watch. And it's only 2 seasons in. And after this HBO and Discovery merger, I am extremely worried. So I want to get the word out that this show might get canceled because this guy doesn't even like, this new CEO doesn't even like animation also. So I don't know what the hell he's going to do. Because I forgot to mention, he also canceled the Scooby-Doo movie, animated movie that was coming out later on this year. He also canceled that for a tax write-off. So yeah, watch this, support this. And if you enjoy it, share it with your friends and let them know about this show to watch it and support it because it's brilliant. It airs every Wednesday night on Adult Swim and it's available Thursday the next day on HBO Max. So just check it out. It's definitely worth watching. An absolute must. And that's where I'm going to end it for Primal. And now, another series on HBO Max. Harley Quinn.
Oh, hello, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. The trailer editors have been burning the midnight oil, and I will admit, it looks pretty great with all the sound effects going pew pew, and the music's like na 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 na. I am just so excited to share with you the trailer for Harley Quinn Season 3 coming to HBO Max. Yoo!
Okay, that was a quick trailer for the animated series Harley Quinn on HBO Max, starring the voice talents of Kelly Coccio and Lake Bell, just to name some of this cast. And a quick synopsis for this is Harley Quinn has finally broken things off once and for all with the Joker and attempts to make it on her own as the criminal kingpin of Gotham City with the help of some friends. And yes, Harley Quinn, the TV show, is again very adult, very dark humor, very, actually even dark humor, just childish humor. It's a lot of dick jokes, a lot of sex jokes, Indian widow jokes. It's like, it's very bloody. So make sure your kids don't watch it. There's a lot of cursing in this show. But it is absolutely a joy to watch because it is just bonkers. It makes absolutely no sense. If you've seen season one, you know what I'm talking about. Season two was just as bonkers. And now season three is a little bit more tamered down, I should say, because season one and season two were really one giant story that just ended, was put together well, was separated into 2 seasons. But this season three does feel like a separate season, a separate story that's going on, which is refreshing. But at the same time, Harley Quinn is as crazy as she is before, but season three is not that over the top, or at least not yet in the episodes that I've seen so far. And yeah, I can't believe it's really out there like that. After the whole roller coaster ride that we had with season one and two, season three is a nice little slowdown. She's getting things settled with Poison Ivy. Oh, if you didn't know, In this series, her and Poison Ivy are a couple. They're in love with each other. They finally figure out at the end of season two, season three, they're, you know, trying to make things work. They're trying to be the partner that they each want to be for the, you know, for each other. Along with the little sidekick, King Shark, a plant dude, Bane's there, guest appearances by Bane, guest appearances by Batman and Commissioner Gordon. Some of the hilarious ones you ever see. Oh yeah, not to mention Clayface. They even have a funny Clayface here. In a nutshell, that's Harley Quinn, the TV show. And quite frankly, again, it's good. I like the series overall, but I do have a problem with the show overall because it's, for me, I feel that it's sending the wrong message to young teenage kids. Like, this whole thing is about bad relationships and how toxic bad relationships can be and how awful someone is. And to me, that's what this is sending out. It's like, it's okay to be in a toxic relationship when in reality, it is not okay to be in a toxic relationship. Also, you have Harley Quinn trying to change for her partner, her girl, Ivy. And she wants to change, but she can't change because they're, you know, they're bad guys. They want to do bad guy things. But at the same time, she kept doing things that piss off Ivy. And Ivy just puts up with it, right? And she finally blows up on Harley and tells her what's what. And Harley realizes that, oh yeah, I've been fucking up. And she does try to change. I'm not saying that she doesn't change. I don't know how far this is going to go as far as the series is concerned right now at this point with season three. But it definitely needs, I think, to get away from that toxic side of relationships and move more towards positive side, I think. And it needs to do it quicker. It can't just linger the way it's lingering here. And also the dick jokes. I mean, not just the dick, just the vulgar language and the F-bombs and all that they have here. It does get tiring real quick. There's only so many F-bombs you can hear at once. There's so many sex in your window jokes. There's only so many types of these, you know, raunchy jokes that you can hear without you going, all right, I get it. I had enough. Can we, you know, give me something else other than that? But yeah, other than that, the only thing I could say is don't watch this. Don't binge it, I should say. Don't binge this show. My best recommendation for you is don't binge watch it. Just watch it sparingly, because you will get tired of it quick if you do binge watch it. And it will just end up being background noise, like sometimes it is for me. But yeah, that's the Harley Quinn show in a nutshell. I enjoyed it. Again, it's very adult, very bloody. There's a part here in the series where they end up going to this rich people orgy party. So just be wary of that and for the season three. But yeah, overall, I have fun with it. You should be able to have fun with it too. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say before we move on to the final topic, if you think I got anything wrong or I left anything out, or you feel that my opinion is absolutely wrong, or you think that I'm right on the money, let me know on Twitter at jlplays78. Or you can also reach me by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com. Those are all great ways to let me know what you think of these episodes, of these TV shows, of everything in general. So with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Day Shift on Netflix.
So what's on the agenda today?
Like every day.
What are you doing in my room?
Hunting vampires. Money.
Welcome to the Day Shift, mother.
That was a quick trailer for Day Shift, starring Jamie Foxx, Dave Franco, Natasha Lou Bordezzo, Megan Good, and Snoop Dogg, just to name some of this cast. Oh, by the way, I'm going to spoil this movie immensely from here on out, so just be ready. I'm not saving anything for, I'm not separating spoilers or anything this week. This movie is getting spoiled immediately. And a quick synopsis for this is, an LA vampire hunter has a week to come up with cash to pay for his kids' tuition and braces. Trying to make a living these days just might kill him. Now, let me just say that I pretty much did not really enjoy this movie too much. This movie really was disappointing for the most part because it calls itself a comedy. It's pretty much a horror action fantasy comedy. And yeah, this thing does not live up to that comedy moniker. I think I chuckled once. And that was towards the ending where he had a little banter with his daughter where he got hurt. And the daughter goes, "Why haven't you killed the vampire yet? I'm trying. Well, try harder." That was literally the joke, and I only chuckled. But before all that, before I really get in depth with this, I just want to say that this movie, before all that, when it first started, it starts off with him going into this thing. You think he's a pool man. He's cleaning the pool. And next, you know, he waits for this person to leave next door. He goes into that house and takes out, and you notice that all that is just a fraud. He opens up his secret, secret case with his weapons inside, and he goes inside the house and kills these two vampires that are in there. And at first, I was like, "What the hell is this going on?" Because I thought this was a Sam Raimi film because the camera angles they were using for it were very Ash versus the Evil Dead or Army of Darkness, you know, that type of cameras, the Sam Raimi cameras for those horror films. It was trying to do that. Even the way the vampire moves, it was trying. So I'm like, it was giving me that vibe. So I was like, is this supposed to be like a comedy? Because so far I don't see nothing that's funny. Right, so I stopped the movie, I look at the description, and yeah, there in letters it says comedy. And that's where this movie immediately fails, because this movie is absolutely not funny. Absolutely, there are no funny jokes in this freaking movie. There are no funny moments, no nothing. Like I said at the beginning, only thing I did was chuckle at one joke, and that was towards the ending. And that's where it disappointed me. If this movie would have taken the more serious route, it definitely would have been a better film overall. But for whatever reason, this person thought that they could do a comedy. And quite frankly, yeah, they couldn't pull it off whatsoever. The script wasn't there. The writing absolutely was not there. The director, J.J. Perry, was quite frankly very basic. Like, he wasn't doing anything new or original with the camera work or the directing in general. It just felt very, very generic. And that's the problem with a lot of Netflix films. I'm starting to notice that whoever's in charge now, if they have a new person in charge of all this, they're making really bad decisions. All these camera works look generic. There's nothing fascinating about these movies, especially this one. Again, if this movie would have taken itself seriously, was just serious tone in general, instead of trying to... This movie had an identity crisis, right? It was trying to do... It was trying to be two movies. It was trying to be a comedy at some point, but at the same time, it was trying to be this dramatic, you know, vampire movie or whatever. And it fails on both counts. It felt like it was supposed to be an original script of, you know, taking serious action horror, but somebody somewhere in the chain of command decided they wanted to make it a comedy, and they tried to, and it just failed miserably. It honestly failed miserably. Not even Snoop Dogg could have saved this movie because he's not even a good actor. So I don't know what the hell he was doing in here. They just put him in there to be the black cowboy who hunts vampires. And by the way, everything here is just moronic. There was one scene where Jamie Foxx is trying to get his job back with the union, which is the union of vampire hunters, by the way. So yes, vampire hunters have a union and they got to be a part of it and they got to follow a bunch of rules. And Jamie Foxx, to get the money that he needs to pay for his daughter's tuition and everything that she needs to be part of the union so he could get union money and not get scalper money like he was getting. So what he has to do is call Snoop Dogg, right, and get him to, you know, vouch for him with the head boss of the union, or of the, you know, Vampire Union Society or whatever the hell. And he tell him, all right, you screw up once, I'll let you in. I'll let you in because he said so. But if you screw up once, it's over for you. You're never going to get another chance again. You already had 50 million chances. You're not going to get another one. Right? And it's supposed to be this over-the-top thing that they usually do. Like, you see in Eddie Murphy movies, like, think of Beverly Hills Cop when his boss is yelling him at the office for being crazy and doing things off the book. It was supposed to give you that same vibe, but this felt so flat that it sunk the floor. It created a sinkhole instead of raising a roof. It created a sinkhole. That's how flat this fell. And yeah, it just doesn't work on any stretch of imaginations whatsoever. And unfortunately, that's horrible. Especially for a vampire flick. Jesus, Netflix last year came out with, what was that movie called? That was an actual decent comedy. Well, not comedy, romantic comedy vampire flick with the movie Night Teeth. Now, if you want to see a decent vampire film, watch that. That did it better than this did. And this had a way bigger budget than that did. Than Night Teeth did. Yeah. And Night Teeth is also on Netflix. It's a Netflix original film. But they did it better and they had a smaller budget. And then it's not even the same story whatsoever. That one is about a driver. I talked about it last year when it came out. I enjoyed it very much. This, however, I did not. And yeah, this is such a disappointing film entirely. I'm really disappointed with it. Yeah, just remember, Day Shift fell flat on its ass. It did not know what it wanted to be, and it failed at trying to be something that it wasn't. So there you go, my review of Day Shift. And with that, that's it for this week, ladies and gents. Thank you all for listening this far. Thank you all for staying this long. And please come back next time and continue to support this podcast just by listening every week. Give it 5 stars on iTunes. It helps the podcast grow by being able to be found quicker by other people on iTunes. So thank you all for listening. And if you're new here, thank you for staying this long. If you're recurring listener, thank you for returning. And remember, you can reach me on Twitter at jlplays78 or by email at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com, and also on Patreon at patreon.com/jlplays. Everything I talk about has links for you in the show notes. And with that, remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.